this thing. No title again.
Anda de lo lebi ele du mare.
Okay, I'm going to share with you the opening of the next beer. No particular reason other than it's the second beer on this Friday night at Rideau River. And I'm going to kind of try and keep track of them. And I knew when I was sitting out here what I felt like drinking, what I thought I'd want to drink. Because earlier on when I was organizing the fridge, I noticed I had a Hockley Dark. And I thought, oh, okay, I'll have that sometime when I'm feeling like a dark beer. Excuse me. Now that I finished the Amber, which was a little bit, it was an amber type, a little bit darker, I immediately thought of the Hockley Dark. Mild, light body, full flavor. It really is good. It's one I've always gone back to, a traditional English ale, Hockley Valley Brewing. Not a lot of flash, like there's so many, upstart, you'd almost say, what do you call those people? Hipster style breweries with some of the hipster style names. But then, you know, there's a lot of good beer out there, and you just sort of judge and taste what you like. But this one in a can, I certainly go back to and consistently enjoy. I poured it into Bob's mug. I knew right away, rather than get out one of my beer glasses, I heard my good friend, in Michigan, the virtual Youper, heard his voice. You got to use the Bob mug in a nice way. It's sort of an honoring. And in fact, I'm wearing the Bob t-shirt too. I should take a picture, actually. Bob and AJ mug wearing the Bob t-shirt. I really spilled a lot of crap over it. And you know what I thought right away? I thought Bob wouldn't mind. It strikes me as quite funny. Like I looked down and thought, oh, shit. It's a really nice shirt. I already got, like, grease stains and stuff on it. I don't know what the fuck. Bob wouldn't mind. Bring it on, you know. Bob was a damn fine man. He was one of ours. We were lucky to have him. And that extends to quite a wide network of people. Not just podcasters. Yeah, boy. Got a bit of a lift, got another log on the fire, and I'll just ride this out. I do so much reflection, and I think it's a good thing. I mean, it's a rare thing. Francis and I talked about that, and we realized some people can do that. There may be a genetic component to it, but there are a lot of people who just can't, who can't stay still, who have to be active continually, and just don't. The whole concept of taking time to take stock, or trying to understand who you are. That's uncomfortable for some people. I think the people I know, the people listening to this podcast, I think are quite self-aware. And I think everybody, the only people who would listen to this podcast are people who are also on a journey. And they're just kind of have an interest in following somebody else's. Now, it's been quite a good one. I started just, when I started, it was 12 years ago. What point was I at in my life then? But there was a very long period of not feeling like making much progress at all. But lately, shortly after the maybe accepting of the fact that you're growing older, oh my God, and maybe stopping fighting some of the worry that comes with, oh my God. To be dependent, what a horrible thought. And I think that's why I'm celebrating what I'm doing now. Hey, I'm independent. I got in, I drove myself here, I built a fire, I'll feed myself, I'm fine, thank you very much. I didn't mean for that to sound rude and angry. I'm just saying that I'm kind of enjoying this journey that I'm on, and it's been a long, very long journey. Anyway, I went back into the road track to get the beer and to get my atlas that my brother and my niece gave me. Randomly opened it up and, where are we? Idaho and Montana, Washington, Oregon. Anyway, I want to look at the map from Ontario into Quebec to, maybe meet Cliff in Mont Tremblant, the Nova Scotia guy. He's going to be there. His son is racing a Porsche, I guess. No, maybe the BMW. And there's Sidhu's stash. Oh yeah, Parc Mont Tremblant, which is quite far. I read about it, but it's a long way from where the camp is. There's Saint-Jovite. I think that is the place, is it not? Am I confusing? Saint-Agathe-de-Mont. All right. That must be it. It's called Brebeuf. Mont Tremblant. No, it's Mont Tremblant. So there was a... I thought there was a track at Saint-Jovite, too. And maybe it is. Maybe that is the Saint-Jovite track, is, and they call it Mont Tremblant. I don't know. I'll have to go back and visit that, because there's a tentative plan that next weekend I visit the Nova Scotia guy, and I'm really thinking, oh my God, that's a long way to go. That's 600 kilometers to get there. But the Nova Scotia guy is flying in from Halifax Thursday. Hopes to meet Mike, the guy I stayed with in his cottage this fall, and do meet up with every year. They haven't connected for a while. He's the other Leica guy. The two, Cliff and Mike, were the two, my two Leica influences. And they haven't seen each other, you know, regularly. I'm sort of a link almost between a lot of these people. And I think it'd be very nice if they got together Thursday night. And what I thought I could do is drive to somewhere, Ottawa or maybe even a little further, Thursday night. And then the Friday morning get straight up to Mont Tremblant. There's a place where I'm told I could park the van. And Cliff will have a rented car and just get him to pick me up and drive me around when I park mine for the winter. Without hookup, but that's fine. And join him for some races. Come back Sunday. Don't know why I'm telling you, other than just it's a possible plan, you know. Up in the Laurentians again. Seems a great idea. I don't really have a good reason why not. You know, I'm not going to miss any school. I'll be back Sunday. It's a long drive Sunday coming home. I can break it up on the way. Anyway, the reason I'm looking at the map is, say, well, where could you camp? There must be parks on the Quebec side after Ottawa. I mean, I could just stay with my sister in... where do they live? Just outside Nepean, I guess. Anyway, I don't feel like doing that anymore. I went and got the map to do it. Now I thought, yeah, I don't. My mind is somewhere else. I don't want to play that game anymore. I want to do something else. Yeah. All right, I think I'm going to leave you. I don't know why. Oh, I just wanted you to join me for the beer. Sorry. Didn't mean to drag you along so long, but hey, you take the good with the bad. Yeah, no, just less than half a cookie, and it lifted me right off. And you may say, well, what exactly does that mean? Well, remember I was talking about doing that talk about the From the Beats to the Beatles. I mean, I think about that a lot when I'm driving, you know. What are some of the aspects? What are... And I love the turning point of the music. So today, the drive here, oh my, what a pleasant drive. I didn't tell you about that. You leave Lake Charlotte Lake, get on the number 7, and turn off at Perth. And from Perth, you take I think it's the 43 to Smith Falls. And then Smith Falls, you get on to Rural Road 4. And you take all the way to Burritt's Rapids. And then you go on Rural Route 2. And then finally you come out at this park on the Rideau River. Just 5 kilometers north of Kempville. And here you are. Sitting here. Talking to your friends. Forgetting where that chain was supposed to have ended. Hmm.
funny how the things you lose or forget, there's instantly this feeling of what must have been important. I wonder if cavemen thought that. You know, they think something, they don't know how to say it, or they miss their chance because a bigger, stronger person is speaking, and you know better than to interrupt them. So you don't say anything. Do you actually sit there and reflect a little bit? Damn, I should have said this to the chief. Think about that. Now I'll need something completely different after the Hockleys, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Yeah, I'm growing into this evening. I do love that expression, though, that life teaches you how to live. And, you know, you just got to pay attention. What feels right? How do you make all those decisions? What do you use to guide you? Gotta feel right, you know? You gotta take time, ask yourself, does it feel right? And you can always feel this, oh my God, we humans, we are so complex. That's not a cop-out, that's just a flat statement. Nobody's going to argue with that. That line my cousin used, Cousin Dave, who I may see tomorrow, you know, we are being driven by a million psychological propellers. Wow. Said that years and years ago. I remember on his front lawn there, and was sort of talking, you know, we were down looking at the grass and how the blades, you know, when they blow in the wind and touch each other. Another teacher in life for me. I'm blessed with two fine cousins my age. Blessed with a lot of friendships. Blessed with two sons I love. Blessed with a wife who's been a very good teacher. Of course, I mean a lot more than that, but that's what fit in that moment. All right, I think it's time to shut this baby down once again. Pay attention to the fire. Maybe make a plan about supper. I never make plans, but you know, sometimes it's good you're camping. You know, don't wait till it's dark and you're drunk before you start cooking. Anybody who's been a drinking camper has done that. You know, it's dark, suddenly, oh fuck, I haven't eaten yet. 6 o'clock now, so I'll have that on by 7 at the latest in the little grill. I'll slice the potatoes and, I mean, they're so small anyway, it wouldn't take much, but so they can get squeezed in and nicely warmed up. Okay, Scarborough Dude, coming to you live from the Rideau River. So this is my celebration, Canada 150. I didn't get to one national park. One of the first people to get the damn thing, apply for it. I had great plans. And didn't do any 150 except that. I'm going to look back at it and think, oh, it was a good year. You know, it wasn't just about defining it by that trip to Yellowknife. It's, you know, it's these provincial parks. It's being closer to home. It's teaching again. 2017 wasn't a bad year. Great, the tour went beautifully. Oh, superbly. Gee, yeah, I'm sorry. Hey, I got this road. I've had this road track for a year now. That's, you know, a lot of would be very good things happened in 2017. Not over yet either.
All right. Like I said, I was hanging up, and I just keep seeming to blither on. That might have been correct grammar, by the way. I think about that a lot. Bye for now. Seaplane overhead, and there was another speedboat going down the lake. Just reminding myself where I am. Looking through the trees, like, this is, honestly, I got one of the best spots here. I just lucked out. It just came open when I was booking. I thought, why is that spot open? Like, that looks great. It's right on the water. So I guess maybe just somebody canceled. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I just happened to be in this particular spot, number 155, and the view through these trees, it's very, very much a Group of Seven painting scene, you know. And there you are, the Rideau River, the historic Rideau River, right behind, and people still living up and down this river and making good use of it. So it's been fun. Georgian Bay, Rideau River, the Huron, Lake Huron. So I'm going to continue this little series of Ontario campgrounds as long as I can. It comes to an early end, unfortunately, in the fall. They just close them up. A few stay open, but not too many. Anyway, we'll just take each one as it comes and enjoy them. Ooh, the fire's just, it's mostly coal now. It's not, I'm still working on the Hockley. It's 6:45. I really should now get the fish, at least get it out of the fridge. Yeah, I think that's our next move. That's all. I really didn't have anything to say, but I just felt like interrupting you. Be right back. I'm of the belief that when you're camping, you really can't overcook anything. It's very hard to tell with a piece of salmon, you know, without poking away at it. I had to go get the flashlight. It is now decidedly turning into evening. That is some big powerboat you're hearing on the Rideau River. Some guy who needs to prove he's a somebody. My brother had a big boat, but got rid of it. He's had lots of things, toys that he's enjoyed. And I was reflecting, maybe with Francis last night, that my brother and my sister and I all wanted something from my father, but I think it was quite different what each of us wanted. And he just had an impact on all of us. I mean, that's probably a silly thing to say. I guess every father does, but it's sort of a feeling. It left us wanting more, you know? Okay, I'm just putting this down with the flashlight. And it was time for the third beer. That's why we're talking now. And I went into the fridge, went through the mall, and pulled out the Bob Cajun. Now, Bob Cajun seems very fitting. There's the name Bob again. It's definitely Canadian, you know, Bob Cajun. And we know the music, we know the song, Bob Cajun. So that's the beer we're going to have. It is an American Pale Ale, I believe. Yes. Bob Cajun Brewing Company, and it's called Common Loon. Nice loon on the picture. So that seems quite fitting, doesn't it? Back to the Bob mug. Back to the snap. There we go. So here's another toast to one of our tribal leaders, now passed, Mr. Bob Goyetch. didn't mean to make that sound formal and silly. I just wanted to commemorate that I genuinely really did love Bob. You know, I think he knew people loved him. I still picture him so clearly, you know. It's sometimes almost a blank stare. Yeah, I'm cool. That's cool. You know, just easy going. Maybe made you relaxed. But got things done. Anyway, the beer, it's quite good. It's a good choice, good follow-up. I wanted something different to go with the fish. I think this, you know, the fish I said, I almost did it on the pretense of, oh yeah, I'll be a little healthy, I don't need meat all 3 nights. But no, it was a genuine an effort at doing something different. No, it was real. And we'll just see how it goes. Hopefully it's tasted enough. I sliced up the potatoes, and those should be well eaten. I'll turn it over once more, and then we'll chow down. There we go. Just to be sure, you don't want to be eating raw fish on a camping trip. It's a huge spot. It's a huge spot. You know, relatively speaking, for provincial parks. But it's like they just carved it right out of the corner. It's completely surrounded by trees. You can see your neighbors, but there's the trees provide a lot of privacy. It's quite nice. A lot of people pulled up even this evening, you know, in trailers, couldn't get away soon enough, but for some reason wanted to come to this campground. Yeah. Probably had some stuff to say, but no idea what now, and that might have been long ago and far away. Again, it's just more time to reflect. Time to reflect. Thought a lot about my marriage. Thought a lot about my wife. Thought a lot about love. Thought a lot about things. Even in the moment, I thought, is that something I'd want to share? And decided, no, it was better just to continue thinking. And now I reflect back and I mention it. It's impossible to see into the future. I mean, you know what's going to happen at the end, but you just don't know how and when and all the other stuff that comes before then. And the future we have left. So, if you're lucky, you get to fill it by choice. And that's kind of what I'm doing with these few little camping trips. It's kind of nice just to sit back, have a fire, have a drink, have a toke. Enjoy music when you're driving. It's a good night. And going back to the early Beatles, it was fun today. So, I've introduced the beer. I think I'll leave it at that and maybe tend to my supper. Yeah, I thought I'd invite you to supper. I'm sitting at the table. I put an old tarp over it earlier today, so at least it looked decent, not the old, grubby picnic table. The salmon is fine, as are the potatoes. It seemed a little dry, or, you know, I mean, it was cooked well, it was crisp, I had to really scrape it off the grill, but it was, I know it could have been, you know, maybe some lemon or something like that, brought it to life a little bit, you know, so I thought, and realized, well, I got yogurt in the fridge, Why not just a dab of yogurt? Can't do any harm. And the yogurt has been a great improvement. It's been very tasty. This is what I would call, without wanting to be accused of sexism, guy camping. Now, a lot of guys would not like this style of camping at all, but, you know, I laid the grill back on the sort of the burlap bag that I keep it in, open it up, scrape off the knife and fork onto the plate, the fish, there you are, there's your supper. Nothing fancy. No lantern on the table. But I'm glad I did this. I'm glad I did fish. And what I meant by guys camping was just simply putting the meat, the fish, whatever, onto the grill, over the fire, leave it there, turn it a few times, assume it's cooked, and then just go and eat. And as I said earlier, you can't really be overdone. Still tastes good, especially if you're a little drunk, which I think I am. It's quite good. Well, that's all. Just thought I was feeling a little lonely at the table. Again, just thinking so much about, well, it's more about the past than the future. Just because there is so much to reflect on that you know, see it the new light, maybe. I think we have live music nearby. Who is that? I'm in need of some. Oh, yeah, City of New Orleans. What's his name? I acknowledge she had a very nice Canada 150 pennant flag on his trailer. I said, I like your flag. He said, I like your rig. And I let it go up that. I could have continued the conversation, but I let it go. Don't particularly feel like meeting anybody. I even bought out dessert. Very good. Okay, I got dishes to clear later. One more taste of yogurt to wash away the flavor. Don't you know me? I'm your native son. Yeah, I got some fruit in a little jar, but I think I'll sit by the fire with those. So, all right, first things first. I'm going to go clean up now, so that's it. Supper's over. Back to whatever you're doing. I have to make a decision, so I've turned you back on so that I have an audience while I go through the pros and cons, or however I go about deciding. Cliff, the Nova Scotia guy, I told you is going to be watching his son race at Saint-Gervais or Mont Tremblant, the track. And, you know, suggested I go up and meet him there. He's done a lot of investigation. He's found out for extra cars there are two extra parking spots, and so I suppose I could get one of those if I claim it. And then I'd have a place to sleep. It wouldn't be plug-ins. I wouldn't have, you know, keeping the fridge running or anything like that, but comfortable enough. Another thing is, I'd get to see Cliff. I'd arrive up there. I'd have to go up on a Thursday, camp somewhere, Friday morning, get to there. And, you know, or afternoon, get hold of Cliff to come and get me and bring me to the track.
and hang out with him all day, and that'd be fun. And then, who knows, maybe go to a restaurant, bar, whatever in the evening. Got a place to sleep, that's all I need. So it seems good use of the road track up to Laurentians, you know, in the fall. That seems a good idea. A car race, wow, I haven't done that for a long time. I was talking about going to Mossport, and I missed the chance. Here's a second chance, and a friend wants me to go, and perhaps he would have a nicer time if I was there. And that should be very strong incentive for me, casting aside any, you know, negatives, and just, yeah, commit to it, go. And in terms of what are the negatives, well, you know, okay, it's a long way, it's a lot of money, it's a lot of gas. You know, you're sort of doing it for a friend who's going up there anyway. It'd be easy just to not go at all. And, you know, do something else with your time instead of commit to, you know, 1,200 kilometers there and back, and a race, you know. Yeah, so having put it that way, now I don't want to go. I just don't want to go. No, it's just too much bother. Then, sometimes, I'm not saying today, but sometimes when we reach a conclusion like that, and it basically boils down to either laziness or just the excuse of being too tired, that I used to think was the time to fight back, to push back, when you start yourself sliding, no, I don't want to go out tonight. Push and make yourself go out. And I don't know if this is a case of that kind of thing. No, I should just, you know, force myself to go, just because why not? You always go on about your time with friends is your precious time, the time that counts. Well, maybe you never say that, but you believe that. And this would be a chance to see a good friend, you know, at a car race, and meet some other interesting people from, you know, the Maritimes, the racers, the drivers. One's a dentist, one's a doctor, there's other people. Yeah. You know, there's good reason to go. Be fun. Well, that didn't help much. I'm neither for or against at this point. I just have no idea. And I guess I'll just have to leave it at that for now. Back to my Bob Cajun. All right. It's, I don't know what time it is, but I finished my Bob Cajun, and I thought right away, okay, now you want to follow that with something really dark. But another part of me thought, well, maybe you won't follow that at all. Maybe you won't have another beer. And so I came back home right now to ask you once again for your help with the me making the decision. And I'm quite sure the outcome will be the same as the other one. You won't be any help at all. The campsite beside me is getting a little more active. There's a few people sitting around a fire, men and women, and I heard a very disturbing line. I'm quite sure I heard a woman say, "What are you looking out the window for, you little cunt?" Or, "You cunt." Maybe she didn't say little, maybe just, "You cunt." I mean, it's a word that's not lightly used nowadays. But I could only think there's just children in the trailer. The adults are sitting out around the fire. And I thought, oh my God, it probably could only be directed at a female. How would that person feel if that was their mother saying that to them? That can't be real. Anyway, I instead of having the beer, I had those little container of mandarin oranges, and it was very tasty, very refreshing, and probably a good call. It still leaves open the possibility I could go and have another beer, but I think I'm less inclined now. Maybe just go to bed early tonight. Seems kind of boring, but I can't get much in the way of big flames out of the fire. I've put some big logs on. I couldn't find my axe. I was pretty sure I packed the axe, but I may have left that hanging back in the garage. And it would be Yeah. A lot of work to search the entire van from top to bottom. But, I mean, I know there's only one other place could be. And I'm just not going to go to that trouble. So, the pieces are big and they just don't produce as much flame. They just sort of, you know, it takes a while for the flame to get to the interior. If they are cut in half or in quarters, they would burn very, very nicely. Much quicker, of course, but much nicely. A lot of flames. Now I'm dealing with a lot of coals. Still have the frangipangy candle burning. That's not what it is. You know it. I know it. It's not salmonella either. Anyway, yeah, I'll eventually get into bed and play a little music. Maybe even say goodnight to you from there. But for now, I'm just sitting by the fire, deciding, do I just keep staying up? I mean, it always comes down to, do you throw another log in the fire or not? I don't think I'll be throwing any more wood in the fire. Could throw in some more cardboard. That, I mean, that makes it exciting. That's fun. I have quite a bit. Anyway, we'll leave you there. I'm sorry. I had nothing to dish out. I think I was just sort of wanting you to cheer me on for having mandarin oranges instead of another beer. I know. I could still do both. I think we got a guitarist and a bongos player at the campsite diagonally away from me, quite a distance. There was a guitar player across from me, and then there's just the talkers in the campsite behind me. I'm the quiet one. I decided to not play at being irresponsible gentleman anymore, and went and got myself another beer. I got the one I like, the cobblestone, and it's only 4.2%. That was actually a deciding factor. And I always like to end the evening on a dark beer, so cobblestone stout. I really like these. It's quite creamy too, and what else? Just staring again. Well, it's not much of a fire, really. But I am staring into the embers, and enjoying just sitting here with further reflections. I think that's what prompted me to turn this on. Now I can't remember what they were, but it was something that really fired up my imagination. Oh, yeah. Stuff from the past. That you know, most of the memories that come back are very positive. They're memories I'm glad I've had, you know, or memories of experiences I'm glad I've had. I'll come back if there is something that needs saying. Come back even if there is something that doesn't need saying. And good morning. 10 a.m. Slept well. I just find it so comfortable in there. It was hot when I first went in. I can't believe it. I was in bed around 11, maybe. It was hot. I had to put on the fan to circulate the air. And then I think I woke up one point in the night, and it was almost cold. So I shut the fan off and back to sleep until, whenever. Well after 7. I've just finished my bowl of cereal and yogurt. I bring two kinds of cereal, milk, yogurt, and half a banana. That was delicious. And before that, my that special, very tasty, full of nuts and healthy things, the bagel I sliced in half and toasted. The toaster oven is very good, the one the people sold me with the van here, so I don't have to get one, a Black & Decker, but it does a nice job. Very handy. And there's storage for it, you know, just fits in the closet. And before that, of course, my apple juice and my pills. So there you go. That's my morning so far. I tweeted with my sister, said, when you come, please bring some kindling and or an axe. She said they'd bring both. She won't get here about 3:30 this afternoon. So, and nobody's staying for supper, so just a couple of short visits. I'm on my own most of the time. I'd sort of imagined it would be different, that people would be dropping in and out. That was my plan, you know. But everybody has their own agendas, and it will be nice enough. I'm still glad I made the trip. Oh, I'm still so undecided about this trip to go up to Mont Tremblant to meet up with Cliff and watch some races. I mean, I guess it's one of those things in life that the great scheme of things, it doesn't matter one way or the other. I go or I don't go. But there's always experiences for everything you do along the way. And at some point, let's say I've got these two scenarios, go, don't go. At some point on the go trip, I'm on my way there, I'm with Cliff, I'm going to be saying, wow, I'm really glad I did this. This is good. I really needed that conversation with my old friend, or what a blast it is just sitting in some strange bar in Mont Tremblant, having a couple of beer and remembering our old times together. Or being out there in the track and watching the cars race by and just hearing the sound and the smell of the oil and the rubber and, wow, haven't done this for so long. That's plan A. Plan B, or it's not really a plan, but the not go scenario, I ended up doing something else. Maybe something around the house, maybe getting the garage ready for the new door that's going to be installed. And I'm feeling, thank God I'm doing this. This is something my wife can appreciate. My sons will both be glad I took care of. And this is responsible, and this is a good thing that had to be done. And then maybe I'll meet up with Brian or whatever and go to the only cafe. And maybe the lovely Lisa or somebody else will join us. Maybe John will be back. And we'll have fun. And we'll be glad we're together, and I'll be glad I'm just around home, and all I have to do is just hop on a subway and a number 9 bus, and I'm home. And I'll be glad I didn't have to make that damn long trip all the way to Saint-Gervais, over 600 kilometers, and then all the way back on the Sunday. Holy shit. So, yeah, I'm just nowhere, and I don't know. Like I said yesterday, one of the factors, in fact, the only factor that I'm taking into consideration is, what does it mean to Cliff? But there will be other opportunities. Cliff could make it to Toronto sometime, visit me. It often seems that I'm the one who keeps a lot of friendships alive by maybe going the extra mile, making that initial contact. People appreciate it. They're glad of it. Anyway, stay tuned to this podcast and you'll know what happened, and you'll hear me justifying going or not going, and you'll hear me telling you it was the right decision, whichever one I made. That's funny. By the way, I'm on a podcasting thread. I'm trying not to be. I'm trying so hard not to get drawn in. But it's one where somebody posted they want to start a podcast. They don't know what to do. They don't know how. They've got the equipment. They just don't know what to talk about. And it's, you know, produced a long line of suggestions. And Michelle had mentioned something about Ken's, you know, and Dave Broadbeck talked about, as I mentioned, talked about him doing a couple cast with his wife just grocery shopping and what it leads to. And it's obviously because Dave is a bright guy, and as is Isabel, and she's an artist, and it's going to lead to interesting conversations. The person who's asking about this may not necessarily be all that interesting a person, certainly from what I saw. But further down the line, somebody spoke up very loudly, boldly. Whatever you do, plan. Make sure you have excess plans. Be well prepared before everything. Don't leave anything to chance. And why would you want to be making a podcast anyway if you don't know? If you're not passionate about anything, then don't even bother. You shouldn't waste your time. Go do something else. And then went on to say that those streams of consciousness podcasts are awful, which is exactly what you are listening to. And I thought, I've got to jump in there. And the first reaction, of course, what I do is I check the guy's website, see what kind of an asshole is he. And yeah, he's an asshole, I could tell. But the conclusion was, why would I waste my time this morning reacting to somebody I don't want? Why will I let him have my time? Fuck you, asshole. Go ahead and think that way. Now, the guy who wants to do, I mean, really the reason for posting something would be in support of the guy who wants to and let him know stream of consciousness is okay, blah, blah, blah. But even that, if he can't figure it out on his own, fuck him too. So, no, I will not get drawn into that stupid conversation. Oh, I've been enjoying reading, again, the book that I've got right here in my hand, The View from Delusion Road, and it's leading up to the backstory of Confederation and how Nova Scotia was really brought into it without individuals having a vote. And there was a strong vote, or a strong support for remaining independent for a while, and then later choosing whether to join the States or Canada, but let the people decide for themselves. But after a Fenian raid, apparently, that was one of the factors that brought about Confederation, the Irish coming in to take over, launch an attack on this British colony. Idiots. So that's kind of interesting. So the backdrop is good. It's researched and, you know, it's had the... has been looked over by Dr. Barry Moody, who wrote the foreword. Paul is focused on two real people and is tempted to see the exciting but sometimes frightening decade of the 1860s through their eyes. He has worked hard to make the silence speak, to suggest to us how they might have reacted to the great and small events of the times. And I think he has done this in a very credible way, shining light on real events and real issues that perplexed and confused and excited and challenged ordinary people. Not just those politicians and business leaders of the period. That's a perfect little summary of what this is about. And it just raises all those issues. So you're sort of seeing things. Okay, well, what was life back then? Anyway, you know the deal. It's not something you'll find in a bookstore. Celebrating 150 years of Canadian Confederation, that's written. So maybe he got some funding for this, I don't know. But I'm grateful to have it. It's a nice change. I haven't gone any further in the Beats at Work book. So I think what I'm going to do is stop talking to you now. Reload my coffee. I had the first coffee with a shot of brandy in it. And that's not a bad thing. So yeah, top up my coffee and I'm just going to sit here and read a little bit. I've had to light the candle again, and it's almost down to nothing. It was worth it. I bought it. It's a cute little thing in a little yellow pail, the citronella candle. And I think it actually works, but I've sprayed. I've had to spray my face, my ankles, my arms with off, and it seems to be helping too. I'm not bothered so much. I'm sitting a little... patch of sunlight. The sun is just directly overhead. I'm facing it right now, but it's so well hidden by all these trees that surround the site. That's the nice thing about it. The Rideau River in the background, I see through the trees and through openings, is very still right now. Very still. I wouldn't want to live on the Rideau River, much too busy. But I thought about this when I was reflecting last night. Where could I live? Where will I live in the future? Am I going to die in the house that I'm in? Will my wife and I sell that house? Eventually, of course. One of us will. I keep thinking, gee, well, then maybe. Who knows? Where would end up? Drove through Perth and thought, wow, this is a neat little town. But I almost feel like if I was to start a new life in a small town, I'd have to start working again. I'd have to find something, some consulting or be involved. I'd want to plug into the community. And Perth is small enough that, well, they might not want an outsider like myself. I'm finding, just the people around this campsite. I think there are very few people in this entire campsite, and this is very judgmental of me, and I apologize, but who I'd want to pull up a chair and just sit and spend an evening with. I mean, listening to the conversation in the trailer behind me, my God, keep me away from those people. And it really did make me think, again, believe it or not, I like to think I'm one of the enlightened ones. I see things. I think about things. I have a measured opinion on a lot of things. I'm tolerant. I'm open-minded. Forget about what I said about shooting looters. I've already apologized. But there's a lot of just plain ignorant people, and I don't know what the solution is. We need more education. Anyway, a few people are walking by. Let's hear their conversation.
Well, I was stretching for there. I went like a hot dog. I see $3.99 for hot dog, and I see $1.99 for chicken dog. I said, "Well, give me a chicken dog."
Exactly. Did you listen? Make this all right. Yes, it didn't make any
sense. Oh no, you were upset in that beer situation.
What? 25
Yeah, I think that sort of proves my point. Chicken dogs for $1.99. All right, Scarborough Dude signing out. Back to reading. Find out a little more about the Confederation and what's going on. Here it is. Oh, man. Somebody's cooking something really good. I don't have a cooking breakfast fire. The salmon last night was good. Did I tell you that? Yeah, I think I did. With the mayonnaise. No, it was yogurt I threw in. Could have used mayonnaise, too. It was a yogurt sauce. And the potatoes, delicious. Those little things I left over from one meal my wife made. She cooked up all these wonderful little potatoes. And I know, I am a bit of a scavenger. You know, I left 3 potatoes on my plate and then quickly put them in a little jar so she couldn't find them and put them in the fridge. And brought them with me and cooked them over the fire as I had planned, thinking ahead. Okay, one final point. I'm also very aware of sort of a sense of slowing down time a little bit when you're camping. For instance, eating my food, whether it's that bagel or the cereal, you're much more aware of each mouthful, each taste. Like, I was really feeling the texture of a cereal, of various grains, as it went across my teeth and tongue, and just aware of what I was eating, the taste, the flavor, the time it took to actually chew and swallow. And that's not a bad thing. All right. Catch you later. Okay, it is now 11 a.m., Saturday, September 16th, and I put down the book about Nova Scotian history and picked up Meat Writers at Work and went back to the Snyder interview. Now I'm really glad I brought this. I've always known he was the real special one of this group. You don't necessarily identify him as a beat, but he was part of that scene. And I'm going to read a little bit from the book, a couple of quotes, because he talks about beats and hippies and when that San Francisco poetry scene emerged. And he's claiming it was happening long before Kerouac and Ginsberg showed up, which I think is pretty interesting. Now, this interview was conducted 25 years ago in 1992. But again, it's Gary Snyder, who studied, you know, lived about 10 years in Japan, studied Zen Buddhism. He's talking about it here, about Zazen, practicing, you know, just sitting and reflecting the way he brought up his children. I'm not so superstitious anymore, and to demystify Zazen Buddhist meditation, it can be said that it is a perfectly simple, ordinary activity to be silent, to pay attention to your own consciousness and your breath, and to temporarily stop listening or looking at things that are coming in from the outside. Okay, you got that part? Just sit, reflect, stop being controlled by outside forces. To let them pass just through you as they happen. There's no question that spending time with your own consciousness is instructive. You learn a lot. You can just watch what goes on in your own mind. And some of the beneficial effects are that you get bored with some of your own tapes and quit playing them back to yourself. Now that's interesting. You also realize, I think anyone who does this comes to realize, that we have a very powerful visual imagination and that it is very easy to go totally into visual realms where you're walking around in a landscape or where any number of things can be happening with great vividness. This taught me something about the nature of thought, and it led me to the conclusion, in spite of some linguists and literary theorists of the French ilk, that language is not where we start thinking. We think before language, and thought images come into language at a certain point. We have fundamental thought processes that are pre-linguistic. Some of my poetry reaches back to that. Now, I found that, just as one sample passage, very, very interesting. Now, unfortunately, Adam Greetrix, I don't think, listens to this podcast anymore. I think he's just fallen behind and maybe gave up. And he's probably one of the few people who could actually appreciate what I wanted to say more about or from this interview. He's talking about translating his poetry and the community of poetries on the West Coast, and he talks about the influences. Kenneth Rexroth is a name that comes up in every single book regarding the Beat Generation, somebody they looked up to. And he says, what about the community of poets at the time? Philip Whalen, Lew Welch, Allen Ginsberg, Michael McClure, Robert Duncan, and others. All those people. And what he answers, I think when you're in your 20s in particular, you're in a working, dissenting intellectual and artist. And you are a working, dissenting intellectual and artist. You need nourishment. Up in Portland, where I went to college, there were only a couple of other people you could talk about poetry, Philip Whalen, Lew Welch, and Willem Dickey. We started hearing little echoes of things in California and then end up there, all of us, for the comradeship, for the exchange of ideas. That was before the Beat Generation broke onto the scene. I met Jack Spicer, Robin Blazer, Robert Duncan, Madeline Gleason, Tom Parkinson, Josephine Mills, William Everson, Kenneth Rexroth, that whole wonderful circle of San Francisco Renaissance people. Such brilliant minds, such dedication to the art, and such unashamed radical politics. Most of them were conscientious objectors in World War II, had rejected Stalinism early on, and with Kenneth Rexroth, had formulated an anti-statist, neo-anarchist political philosophy, anarcho-pacifism, which at the time in American history made great sense. I was proud to be part of that circle at the time. That group was enlarged when Allen Ginsberg and Jack Kerouac came onto the scene, and the phenomenon that we are more commonly aware of as the San Francisco Beat Generation poetry emerged. But it came out of the group of Duncan Spicer, Rexroth, and Blazer that was already 8 or 10 years old. It wasn't just created by Jack and his friends, or by Alan and his friends. And it goes on from there. So I think that's kind of interesting that, put things in perspective so that people don't think automatically. Ginsberg and Kerouac created that whole scene. It was there, and they just came. It was this culture was growing in that area. It is so neat, that whole story, the Beats, how it was New York and San Francisco, these two places that gave rise to all of this. Now, I'm going to go on, if you don't mind, and even if you do mind. The interviewer says, I'm surprised that very few young people now are so fascinated by the Beats. Oh, no. Take that back, sorry. I'm surprised that very young people now are so fascinated by the Beats compared to the hippie movement. As an old hippie, I think we're much more interesting. What do you think they see in the Beats? And Snyder answers, gee, I don't know if I should say this to you. When I look at the differences, one that emerges is that the political stance of the West Coast Beats was clear. They were openly political, and in terms of the Cold War, it was kind of a pox on both your houses position. Clearly, our politics were set. Sorry, momentary panic as I had to search for new batteries. I'll continue. Clearly, our politics were set against the totalitarianism of the Soviet Union and China, and at the same time, would have no truck with corporate capitalism. Today you might say, okay, what else is new? Do you have any solutions to suggest? I understand that, of course, but at the same time, the quality of our dissent alone was enough to push things in a slightly new direction. What it led to in the poetry was a populist spirit, a willingness to reach out for an audience and an engagement with the public in the United States. The swell of poetry readings going to all of the college towns and the big cities, which started around 1956, transformed American poetry. It was a return to orality and the building of something closer to a mass audience. I do feel there was a visionary political and intellectual component in the hippie movement, but it is harder to track out what it is. It wasn't so clearly spoken, and it was outrageously utopian. Whereas the Beat Generation's political stance was, in retrospect, more pragmatic, more hard-headed, easier to communicate, and it didn't rely so much on spiritual rhetoric. So that might be one reason, just as the punks reject hippie spiritual rhetoric and went for harder-edge politics, well, the Beat Generation had a harder-edge politics. All right. So I'm going to stop there. He goes on about drugs and how much. I'll just say that I'm grateful that I came to meet with peyote, psilocybin, LSD, and other hallucinogens in a respectful and modest frame of mind. I was suitably impressed by their powers. I was scared a few times. I learned a whole lot. And I quit when I was ahead. So that's Gary Snyder. I hope you enjoyed that. But I especially like that little section about him making clear the Beats really did have an impact. And it follows, he said, we're going to colleges with our readings and reaching a wider audience. They really did pave the way for the music that followed that, of course, was picked up at the colleges and so on, and bands toured. There is a continuum here. And that's why I always think and always have thought it's so important Well, first of all, not just to buy into the way the media portrays the beatniks, this, you know, almost cute little image. Well, it wasn't cute, but weird, you know. And the same way they've done with the hippies, you know. They don't rely on large corporations to describe these movements. Think and read for yourself and reflect on it. But I think it's especially important to understand, and it just keeps circling me right back to this thought that just won't go away. I really want to do a talk, maybe four sessions, four or five, at my church, from the Beats to the Beatles, and it'll be an overview of the Beat and the hippie generations. And I think there'd be people in the church who would find it interesting. I think I could do a decent job. It's just that I don't want to announce it until I've done some of the work and prepared a framework at the very least. But that strikes me as a worthwhile project. I'm quite keen on that. So, you know, you've heard probably a million other keen things that I've talked about here, and do they get done? Well, actually, some do. Everything is incremental, so be patient. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with me, if you even have a voice in my life. I'm looking at the map. I'm still struggling with this, whether I go up to visit the cliff. Now I'm leaning towards not, and instead, I'm looking at provincial campgrounds in Southwest Ontario, and I found a few more that I really want to visit. McGregor Point is one of them. It's open year-round up on Lake Huron. There's a couple of others, the Pinery and others. And I think this is a worthwhile undertaking. Just visit parks, bring some books, do exactly what I'm doing now. Be self-sufficient, be alone, read, reflect. And that's what we're doing right now, and I'm going to go back to Gary Snyder. I'm so glad I picked up this book. It's a book, you know, it's one of the books that I bought. It looks brand new. No, I got it used, $9.95. Beat Writers at Work. A Modern Library Paperback Original. The Paris Review. Get back to it. Scarborough Dude. Signing out.
The murder of two men by a young kid wearing lemon-colored gloves. Wait. 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 Wait, wait. 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 Now.